Father, we are grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou will open the Word, help us to understand it, grant that we may lay hold of the truth of it. May the application of Thy Word be ours today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, keeping in mind we are studying what is recorded there about the great white throne judgment. We have been emphasizing the fact that the dead will stand before that great white throne, the dead, small and great. But we have been identifying the dead. We have suggested to you, as we have looked at other passages of Scripture, that the dead in Christ will not be standing at that great white throne, but only those who have failed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have failed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have neglected to believe on Him as your Savior, and you die, you go to hell. You go to Hades. You go to that place in the inner part of the earth which is marked by torment and shame and suffering, and you stay there until the judgment of the great white throne. Your body is placed in the grave, as a Christian's body is placed in the grave, and there is no difference between the two until the resurrection day. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the air, we are told, the bodies of those who have died in Christ will be raised from the grave, will be reunited with the Spirit as glorified bodies, and that great host of people will return to heaven to be with the Lord. 1,000 years later, as we have been emphasizing here, the bodies of those who have died without Christ will be raised from the dead, will be reunited with the spirits that once lived in them, and body and soul will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment bar. Now I want to emphasize that. The Lord Jesus Christ found it necessary to emphasize it. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking to some individuals in his day about fear. He said, "Don't be afraid of men. Men can't do anything much to you, but fear him rather that is able to cast both body and soul into hell." There is nothing figurative about hell, it's real. There is nothing imaginary about hell, it is literal. Body and soul will be cast into hell. If you will glance at verse 13, you will see a phrase for which I have no adequate explanation, and as far as I know, no one else does either. There are several suggestions that might be made about it, but none of them completely satisfy me. Notice, if you will, Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." This is not a reference to people who have died at sea. There is no difference in people who die at sea and people who die on land. If you say that the sea is giving up the dead which are in it, refers to the people who have died at sea, then you're going to have to make a distinction between death and hell in the same verse. It has been suggested, and it is intriguing to consider, though I do not know that it is definite enough for us to be dogmatic about it, that those who are in the sea are related to spirit beings who at one time were holy angels and were cast out of heaven because of their sins. Several things lead certain Bible scholars to be dogmatic about this statement, though I cannot personally align myself with them. If you will notice what is said about demons in the Word of God, you will notice that they do have an affinity for the sea. They do have an affinity with water. And it does not seem that this could work into this picture. But I would rather say to you that, or rather it does seem that it could work into this picture, but I would rather say to you that I don't know what this means. Perhaps by and by we will know. Certainly we will know when we stand in the presence of Christ. Now, I would like for you to notice with me the issues of this particular judgment. Keeping in mind that this is not a trial, there is no uncertainty about it. Nobody stands before the great white throne and wonders if he is going to be acquitted. Sometimes, you know, when we have a trial today, we don't know how the trial is going to turn out. We may be acquitted, we may be found guilty, but that is not the spirit of this judgment. This is not so much a trial as it is a review of the evidence and the pronouncement of a sentence. Now, I would like to emphasize here, even at the risk of being repetitious, that you are already declared guilty before you get to the great white throne. You are guilty here and now. If you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you die in that state, your sentence will not be revoked. You stand condemned before God. It is not a question of your going to be lost. It is a question of your being lost at this very moment. As we look at this judgment and notice the issues that are involved, there are several things that attract our attention. The first things brought to our attention are the books that appear in the great white throne. You will notice in the middle of verse 12, the statement, Revelation 20, verse 12, and the books were opened. And then you find another statement, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there are more than two books, speaking conservatively, at the great white throne. One of them is the Lamb's book of life. Of that we can be sure. Another set of books are those related to the works, the deeds of all these people who stand before the judgment bar of God. Will you notice, please, verse 12? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Then will you notice verse 13? The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now notice carefully. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Double emphasis is placed upon the fact that one of the issues in this great judgment day is the works of the individual who stand before the great white throne. Somebody says, that seems rather strange to me. I didn't know that we are saved by works, and I didn't know that we're lost by works. I thought we're saved by grace. You are. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Why then is a record kept of works? And why are the books of works opened at the great white throne? Well, the answer is a very simple one. The answer lies in a fact that a great many people fail to remember, and that is that there are degrees of punishment in hell as there are degrees of reward in heaven. Speaking in everyday parlance, I would say to you that hell is not the same temperature in every place. There are some places in hell hotter than other places. The individual who stands before the great white throne are going to be judged according to their works. Those who have sinned to a great extent are going to be punished to a great extent, and those who have not sinned to such an extent are not going to be punished to such a great extent. The scriptures bear this out. We will not have time to look at them today, but we will be looking at them the next time we meet together.